52 years this band has been doing its thing, and now you've got a brand new album, Sonic Mojo, that came out, I believe it was November 10th. Talk to me a bit about what people can expect from this album, and what has the response been so far?
So far, it's been incredible. The first week it was released, we were number one on the Billboard Blues chart. It's already been in the top 20 rock blues albums of this year and another. So that's fantastic. We did two record release parties, one in New York at the Iridium, and then 4 days later we did another record release party in California at the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano. And we played like about 9 songs from the album there, so which is kind of brave, you know, playing 9 songs that nobody's ever heard before, or by us. But it went down really well, and actually I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, sometimes you've got to be brave, you know. But both shows was like sold out, and it's actually selling. They're actually playing it on the radio from time to time, which is unheard of. And our last show of the year, we played at, down in Atlantic City, and it was great. Sold out again, so I'm going to go back to England to see my oldest daughter, granddaughter, brother, sisters, cousins, nieces and nephews, and then we're back on our heads again.
Now, I understand that a few of the songs, including the first single, Driving On, were co-written by your longtime friend and bandmate with Savoy Brown, the late Kim Simmons, who, you know, of course, passed away just last year, and the album is also dedicated to. Now, I mean, that speaks volumes to me, but what does his involvement here mean to you?
First real professional job as a musician was with Savoy Brown, and Kim and I always got on really well. There was never, ever any cross words between us, and we've been friends like for years, and it was always like, I don't know, how can I put it, I'm not gonna, comfortable is not the right word, but we enjoyed each other's playing. I mean, I listened to his guitar. He was a brilliant guitar player, and also, I mean, an incredible songwriter. The last 10 or 12 years of his life, he put a record out every year, and he'd write 12 songs every, you know, like, I mean, that's a huge inventory of songs. And he played on our previous studio album called Under the Influence. He played on about 4 tracks on that. And we were talking after we'd finished the album, and he said, Roger, I'd really like to write some songs with Foghat. And I said, that would be fine. You just have to play on them. So, that was the deal we made. He sent me 4 songs that he'd written. And unfortunately, Kim passed away a year ago. And but we did 3 of the songs. We kept one of them back. We'll probably go on the next album when we start on that. Yeah, Kim Simmons was, yeah, he was a good friend, a great blues guitar player. Yeah, I miss him.
Well, it just sounds like, you know, he was very comfortable, very familiar to play with, wasn't he?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was fun. We, about the last 10 or 12 years, our manager got in with the same agency as us, Paradise Artists out in Ojai, California. So we got to do a number of shows together over the years, and I would get up and sit in with his band, and he would get up and play with us. So, yeah, it was good. And we would talk from time to time, you know, on the phone and stuff. But, yeah, it meant a lot doing these songs. And Got Hole was a huge Kim Simmons fan and Savoy Brown fan. So it was, yeah, it was good to do these songs. That, in fact, I think they're possibly my 3 favorites on there. That's not true, actually. They're all 11 of them. All 11 of them are my favorites.
Yeah. Now, as an original member of this band, I'm just going to imagine that it's been a heck of a wild ride. I mean, all the music, touring, watching members come and go, and just seeing Foghat sort of evolve over the years. Now, I know it's a bit of a daunting task here, but maybe reflect a little bit for me for a bit on what the experience has been like for you, and what does this band mean to you?
You know, careful what you wish for. I always wanted to play in, you know, a blues rock and roll band right from the very beginning. You know, I grew up listening to, you know, Chuck Berry, Muddy Waters. I mean, they were to my two influences. And, of course, Jerry Lee Lewis. That was the first time I ever saw anybody. I was like 11 or 12 years old. My dad took me to see Jerry Lee Lewis. He was playing at a theater in South London, 1960, somewhere around there. And I was never the same. So my taste in music, my influences have always been in the blues, rock genre. And that's what we play. You know, it's called, it's American music. This is the land of where music came from. You know, starting with the blues, and then you got jazz, and then you got bebop, and then you got rock and roll, and of course, country music and gospel music. This is the land of music. This is where it comes from. And even to this day, I think America influences musicians and music all over the world, you know, with, you know, the current, whoever's singing and playing, whether it be R&B, rap music. This is the country where it comes from. And this is my adopted home, and I love it here because it's the land of music. And this is where it was born, as far as I'm concerned.
That's a mouthful to say when you consider that you're from the land of the Beatles and, you know, Led Zeppelin, bands like that. But, yeah, you're not wrong. You're absolutely right.
But the Beatles grew up listening to American music, too.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and the Stones, of course, another great band.
Yep.
They just put a record out as well.
Yes.
Good record, actually. Have you heard it?
It's a very good album. It absolutely is, yeah.
Yeah. No, I got it yesterday. I got the album yesterday in the post. I got home late last night, and there it was. I haven't put it on yet.
No?
That's a sin.
It amazes me, and not to go off at a tangent here, but it amazes me how they manage. They have that formula, and boy, it works, and it's never dated. It's for all these years, and it still makes a dint on the charts. It really does.
Yeah. Well, it sounds that, you know, like, again, I mean, I often say that, you know, right from the very beginning, I always play with great musicians. Mm-hmm. And the Stones have done that. Anytime that, you know, they've lost a member, they have a really great player, you know, to replace them. And they also have, you know, excellent, like, background singers and stuff and percussionists. But let's remember that the Stones always had Charlie Watts. So yeah. How bad could they be?
100%. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So now, obviously, the 70s were huge for Foghat. I mean, that 77 album, Foghat Live, it went, I think it was multi-platinum, and it made you guys household names. Now, it's likely a bit of a blur, and I'm really challenging you here, but maybe just try to take us back there. Take us through that a little bit of what that rise to fame was like for you.
Playing live is the lifeblood of this band. Always has been, always will be. Mm-hmm. I mean, before I go on stage, no matter where we are, whether it's 5,000, 50,000, or 500, I still get chills when I'm waiting, you know, for the intro music to stop and walk on stage. As soon as I start the count off, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm fine. But I'm one of the fortunate few in this world who gets to earn a living doing something I love doing. In fact, I'll give you a quick story. About 2 or 3 months ago, we were playing El Dorado, Arkansas. No, it's El Dorado, not El Dorado. There were signs all over the theater saying El Dorado.
Wow.
Arkansas. And after we'd finished, it was also the first night that we played 3 songs from the new album, which is, you know, in the set. And we were backstage when we finished playing, and myself and Scott Holt, our singer and guitar player, were talking, having a glass of wine, and Scott said to me, he said, "Isn't this great, Rog?" He said, "You know, what other job could you have where when you finish working, people stand up and cheer and clap for you?"
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And I think that kind of puts it in perspective how, you know, I love my work. You know what? We make jokes about. We get paid for traveling. You know, sitting in cars, sitting in planes, sitting in trains. Hurry up and wait. But that hour and 15, hour and a half that you get to play, that's worthwhile. And, you know, I know how fortunate I am. So sometimes, you know, the other thing is if you can stick around long enough, people actually take notice.
Sure they do. I think you're being modest, but sure they do. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, they start taking, they say, oh, is he still around? Podcast still making music? Yeah, good fun.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what I admire about this band is kind of how you've been able to connect with audiences in subsequent generations from your original audience, of course, in the 70s. I mean, we're talking, you know, your hit Slow Ride being included on, I think it was the Dazed and Confused soundtrack in 93, and then you were part of the Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock video game in 2007. So, I mean, what is that? Is that a part of the band just sort of reinventing itself, evolving, or has it just kind of been good fortune?
That kind of publicity you can't pay for.
Right, yeah.
I remember when the Guitar Hero came out, and we'd have these 7, 8, 9-year-old kids bringing their little plastic guitars along for us to sign. Let me think of how we want to say this, but it's really gratifying because we have people like late teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s coming to see us. We have a really broad spectrum of in our audience. And I think, or I like to hope that's because maybe we got it right in the first place with the sort of music we play and how we play. Last Saturday we played the Hard Rock down in Atlantic City. And it was fantastic. It was sold out. There must have been, 5,000 people there. And we had such a good time. I love my job. I love doing what we do. I play in a great band. We are a band, as far as I'm concerned, in every sense of the word, the way we play together. We hang out. These guys are great. I mean, Brian Bassett, he's been with us 27 years. He's, you know, a lead and slide guitar player and producer as well, and engineer. Scott Holt, I've known since 2014, but he's only been in the band 2 years. But I've made records with him. We had a record out called Earl and the Agitators with Scott singing. That was about 10 years ago. But and Rodney O'Quinn is a fantastic bass player. You know, I play in a great band, and I know, you know, how lucky and fortunate I am. And we're friends. Everybody gets on because we enjoy the same music. There's this real camaraderie in the band, and it makes it fun.
Well, and I think that I've interviewed enough bands to know that when you have that, it really comes through on the stage. I mean, the opposite can happen, too. When there's friction, you can see that on the stage as well. So it the audience definitely picks up on it, don't they?
No, we're a bunch of happy bastards. No, we have a good time on and off the stage. We hang out, you know, we'll have dinner together, you know, whatever. Life is good. Life is real good.
Well, and that kind of leads to my next question here. I mean, this band, it really doesn't stop. I mean, you guys are kind of a machine. You've got new music. You're out on tour to this day, really, including a stop at the River Cree Resort and Casino on January 26th in Enoch. I mean,
yeah,
you've kind of alluded to it, but what is it that keeps this band going all these years?
Me.
Well, fair enough, yes.
I mean... To put it in a, I don't want to stop playing.
Yeah.
I love to play. The only way I'm going to stop playing is if, you know, I've had work done on my hands and knees and shoulders and stuff to repair, you know, stuff. And also there's a whole bunch of new medicine out here, you know, PRP and, there's stuff that can be done to help repair your body. And I'm going to roll till I'm old and rock till I drop. It's like, the only way that I'll stop is if I can't play anymore to my ability. And, you know, we've got a couple of young guys in the band. They're 57. So they sort of help keep me on my toes, and it's fun. I mean, I really have a good time. It's ever since I first started playing and wanted to play the drums, I always wanted to play in a band. That's where you get, you know, your thrills, for want of a better word. I mean, you're playing with other people, singing, playing with a great bass player, playing with guitar players who can wail. I always played in a great band ever since I was, the first band I was in was at 16 or 17. I joined the band of, I went with three guys I went to school with, and they've been playing since they were about 10, and I sort of started when I was about 15, I think. And I always played with really great musicians, so I think I know I've been fortunate in that respect. And actually, I really can't ever remember having a lot of aggro in any band I was in. You know, there were some people that were unhappy because they were unhappy people, but no, I play in a great band. I play with great musicians. You know, Nick Jameson, our longtime producer and friend, he produced some of our biggest albums. In fact, he was just here a week ago. It was his birthday. He came out. He lives in Reykjavik now in Iceland, but he came here and we had a birthday party for him. And Nick Jameson is probably one of the biggest influences on my musical career, as far as learned a lot from, you know, the way he produces, the way he works as a musician. He's one of those people as well that can pick up any instrument and within 10 minutes he's playing it. Don't you hate people like that?
Absolutely, I do. Yes.
You have to struggle, like, you know, with your one instrument. Nick Jameson, absolutely brilliant human being and musician as well.
Well, Roger, I really appreciate you taking this time to talk with me. I've, you know, you've had an amazing career. You should be very proud of your accomplishments. And I've been a huge Foghat fan for many years. I've seen you a few times, and I hope to get up there to Enoch and catch you guys again at the end of January.
Nice talking to you, Todd.